We're back. We're actually doing two in a row in a week, in 2 weeks.
We had three in a row.
No, we had three in a row. We might be the three in a row. This might be a record for the for a month, for a little bit.
We were missing the fat boy on the bottom, though.
We were. Yeah, we didn't have the fat boy last week.
Yeah, he was having some fun with the fam.
Yeah. It was, I missed it. I like doing these things with you guys. They're fun.
Always.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we had the biggest fat fuck in the world replace you, so it was equal over the replaceable. what a wild first like 15 minutes of that podcast.
Oh yeah,
Tyler was just going into everything that he fucking ate, and it was great. It was lovely to hear.
I like how Tyler just owns it too. Like, he's the type of guy that he talks a little bit slower than I do. And he just lets it rip, like, he just leaves nothing out, you know? Like, I like that about him.
Yeah, when he sent me his message after he did the birthday eats, so you probably felt a little bit guilty. And it's like treading waters of, I did some shit, coach.
That's how it always starts. I did something, coach, ...
Yeah.
Well, let's see what this message is. Like, that notification pops up on your desktop. You're like, oh, here we go.
Well, that's how the message started with Janvier when he forgot his trunks, man. It was literally like, coach, I fucked up, ...
Oh,
like, oh no. We're 12 hours out. What did you do?
I'll go first. Update. Yeah. I hit a new low last week. I did hit a new low of 160.6. My body ended up coming back up to 163. So I filled back out a little bit. Obviously wasn't really training the last week. Haven't done legs in almost 2 weeks or in over 2 weeks now. And I haven't been to the gym since last Thursday. So I am fiending to get back in tomorrow into the gym. I got my Vibrams. These things are coming out. They're going to be in all my videos. I'm going to be looking like that guy at the gym, which is great. I got my Trained by JP shirt and my, just call me a UK bodybuilder. that's where I'm at right now. No, everything's going pretty good. Started up a new athlete who actually trains at my gym. So I went and trained her for a session on Friday, trained her through a few leg exercises. During that, all my athletes are killing it, you know. Crushing things. You know, I really learned a lot through this last week, fully off of training, and that I need to take a step back from things. And I've really been on the money with my cutoff times now, like in the morning and at night, I'm cut. I make sure I get my shit done. Like, I'll just sit outside now in the morning for like an hour on my balcony, and then I'll sit outside for an hour at night on my balcony and just enjoy. And just, even if I'm just watching like a YouTube video or something, I'll put on my red filter, so I'm good to go, and I'll just chill out there for a long while. So it's been a lot of good lessons learned, even though I haven't been in the gym. But man, I'm chomping at the bit now to get training tomorrow and excited to get back in and start progressing again.
You're gonna feel good, man.
I told Dylan, I had to show my client how to do a leg extension and see the ham curl correctly. So I did like two reps of the leg extension, and I was like, oh, I'm going to be fucked next time I do legs. I was like, whenever I do legs, I was like, connect it with my quads right away, and I could feel every single muscle fiber firing. And I was like, oh, this is going to be a great first session back. I'm like, I'm going to be buried for a whole weekend, though. I'm like, I'm going to sit there not getting off my couch whatsoever that weekend. But I'm excited.
Fucking right. I'll go, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, things are good here too. I had set a goal at the beginning of this season to get 2 pro cards this year in this competitive season. That was my goal in this year. And we locked her down yesterday. We actually got 2 yesterday. So, I mean, I don't know if it counts as 1 or 2. It was the same athlete, but she won 2 pro cards in the same show.
I'm going on a I'm counting it as a technical.
That counts.
That technically was, if those both count, then we got 3 on the season. So we've surpassed the goal. But even if it was just 1, then we hit the goal. And we all know how important goal setting is. And I think even as coaches, we need to do that kind of stuff. And
you had a client knocking on the door, and so did I, actually, technically.
Yeah.
You know, so not complaining about those choices, more so just saying that we're in the right area. Like, the darts are honing in, right? Because we – at the same show, we had a couple second. You had the Bikini Client go second, and then we had Brandy and Figure Client go.
Yeah. Well, and I genuinely believe we have more opportunities for more this year still, right? Like, I agreed. Nikki's doing North Americans after she won in Vancouver, just lost in the overall, got edged out. Yep. And I got edged out by James Girl again in the overall and my Bikini Girl this week. It's got to fucking come sooner, man.
Yeah, that rocked. What's that over the hill, bro?
Yeah, it was funny. It was, you heard Ludacris, like Chris from Team Ludacris there was chirping James. He's like, it's rigged. He sponsors the bikini classes. it's got to happen sooner or later, but that's one that I'm excited for. So hopefully we get another one here, and we're doing North Americans there. So I'm excited for that. But no, it was good. My own, I was a little bit, I planned to be 100%, and I know you guys know how fucking OCD I am. You guys are the same way with food and training and stuff. But Thursday when I flew out ended up being a shit show. Didn't have my food with me till later in the day, and a lot later than I had wanted. So I couldn't really be on. And I ended up being a couple meals short at the end of the day. So I went and grabbed a fucking 20-ounce steak to get my meals in. And just that sent me for a little bit of a loop. So I was like, fuck this. I went to the grocery store again the next day. I bought a bunch of fucking appliances and shit. I had all my food, but I'm like, I'm not missing for the rest of the fucking trip. So I was good to rest. But again, I ended up only got one training session when I was down there. So that, again, mentally fucked me a little bit. But I stepped on the scale when I got home today and I was 234. So I don't think we did too much damage. I don't think we dropped off too much. So see where we're at tomorrow to really assess if we dropped too much. But again, I mean, at the end of the day, do I really, really care? I care a lot more about my athletes, and we had a good weekend, so that was fine with me. But yeah, that's kind of where my journey's at. I think we're still holding roughly around that 230 range. Really, really happy with the way my athletes look this weekend. We had a bikini win at Natural Nationals, coming off of, I was really, really excited for that one because Carolyn looked really good, Alberta Naturals, and I believe she should have won her class, and she was super disappointed. The girl that beat her was a little bit out of shape. And you know what? It's a subjective sport, so it can happen, right? But what I seen was obviously very different than what the judges seen. And then she starts having doubts about whether she should even go to nationals or this and that. And I was like, listen, you got to trust me on this one. You got to go. You have what it takes to be at that level and compete at that level and be competitive. We got to go. So we went, and it was really nice. Like I said, I mean, she was talking about, like, just wanted to get top three, and all of a sudden she's in the class, a good class too, with 11 girls in it. She gets moved to the center, and it was just like, hey, this is where you belong, and this is where you're going to hang out. And she stayed there the whole time. We held the look the entire day. I didn't really change a damn thing. I didn't really feed her at all. Didn't really do much. I was just like, your look is holding. You're not flattening out. You're not getting watery. Nothing's changing. Why do I need to change a single thing? Nope. So that was good. And then we had Genevieve, he ended up getting second in middleweight, losing to a very, very good bodybuilder who's won at open shows and stuff. So I couldn't be upset about that. And that bodybuilder ended up winning the overall. He took an overall in pro card. So that was really good. And he got third in classic. And then Chris Saunders, who won the shows at the Alberta Open, he ended up getting sixth in classic. But that was, again, it was a very good showing for him. He was better than Alberta Naturals. The guy who actually beat him out Alberta Naturals in the overall was in a different class because obviously he was taller. They weren't in the same class at Alberta Naturals. He ended up getting fourth too. And like, that's how deep this show was. It was very good because they're both very good competitors. And Chris was obviously not super happy with the results. And I mean, nor was I. We go there to win. But at the same time, I mean, my biggest thing was I wanted him better and I wanted to see what we could do with him. And he got better. And I was very, very happy with the condition we brought him in, the fullness we had him at, everything. Peak went really, really well. It just simply, he needs more tissue on his structure given his frame. He's got wide hips and it's not overall, it just doesn't fit as well until you have wider lats and wider quads. Just like a Jay Cutler waist, right? Jay had a big waist, but he had massive quads, massive delts, massive lats that made his waist look a lot smaller and very, very good. So that's literally just what we have to do with Chris. And he's never even done an off season. Literally, he's been a bodybuilder for 20 weeks. I said to him, how long have you been doing this for, man? Because he didn't start. He started with me literally like 16 weeks out of Alberta Open or whatever. And he was working with a different coach and his calories were at 1700. And I was like, have you ever done a proper growth phase? Because this kid was obese from the time he was 4 years old until he was 20 or whatever, 21. And he's like, no, I haven't. I was like, right. So now you have the opportunity. You've gotten this lean now. You reverse properly. We take care of this. Now you have the opportunity to build that tissue and we'll spend some time and you'll come back better when it's time. So was very, very happy with his look. Results didn't really show it. But again, I can't complain about that. And the class was insane. Completely insane. I was honestly, what I was most taken back by was how crazy the level of quality of athletes at Nationals this year was. Last year was pretty good. This year was night and day. Like even talking to some of the other coaches that were there, we were all saying a lot of these athletes could have beat some of the top athletes at the Van Pro show and an open show. That's how crazy some of these athletes were. The quality of athletes was definitely better than the Van Pro, which is pretty wild. And not across the board, right? Like your best athletes are obviously better than your best natural athletes. That's a given, but overall quality for sure. And it was a big show. There was 300+ athletes in the show. So it was good. It was a good weekend. So yeah, that's kind of how my week looked. We took off on Thursday morning, bright and early, and got back here today and we're off on Wednesday to Texas now. So
it's going to be a big turnaround for you.
Yes, sir. But luckily, I didn't get too far behind this time. I had my screen, my little screen set up with me. I stayed on top of it. I got one or two more check-ins to do here, actually, after this pod. And we'll be caught up and ready to rock for Monday, Tuesday. And then it's out we go.
Nice, man. I'm excited about that. It's going to be a fun time. I wish I could go with you. We're launching bulk at most of the stores this week, our supplemental bulk protein. So now when you get protein, Braden, you'll get to try a bunch of our stuff, which is
I'm very excited about this.
I actually was gonna ask you that if you guys are like shipping that stuff because I want to try.
Yeah, we definitely will. It's gonna be set up in my store tomorrow morning.
Actually. Nice.
I don't know if the protein, I shouldn't say that. The stand's getting set up, so probably by the end of the week or something. But I'm excited about that. You know, it's gonna be good. So I was mostly really busy with that and a few other things. And you know, it's been good. My weight is just kind of holding. Braden bumped my food like 2 weeks ago now, I think. And I kind of just bumped up like 2 pounds and I'm just like holding that now, the same as I was holding 190. Now I'm just holding like 193, 194, just seems to be. But the cool thing is I played a little trick on myself. I let myself get really hairy and I knew he was going to bump my food. So then I was completely hairy. Then he bumped my food and my weight went up. And then I shaved after my weight went up. And then I was like, oh, I look pretty good. But it was like shaved off a giant layer of hair. And I'm like, hey, I look good. So now I feel good about it.
There you go. I like it.
Love one benefit to having body hair.
God, that's great. Fucking love that.
You know, you're like a little bit.
I'm surprised the weight didn't come down when you got rid of the hair.
Yeah, I know, literally.
If he takes the beard off, he might lose like.
I do my back, so if I do my back, then the, and the beard and my top hair, then I probably lose.
Yeah.
new low. Look at me.
Yeah, literally. What a new low.
Whatever it takes for a new low in some settings.
Eh? That's what I'm about to do. I'm about to be like, Mark, look, new low, bro. As I show up with like a bald head,
shave it off.
No, never be shaving off.
You gotta put that in a ponytail, bro.
No, I don't know if I could get.
Top knot that shit.
No, I would never do that, bro. Never in my life will I be that guy.
Come on, man, Muzzy and top knot.
Literally,
nope. I wear hats all day long. I don't ever not wear a hat anymore.
Outrageously.
So,
my training's going pretty well. Last week was one of those weeks where if I looked at my logbook, it would look good and very acceptable. But when I was training it, that's because my mind was very distracted, it felt like. But like the performance was good, but I would leave the gym feeling like not that good about it. But I think that's just more of like just being a little bit burning the candle at both ends, so to speak. So I'm excited. I got caught up on my work. I was telling these guys before, I kind of changed some of my check-in systems, created more time for myself, opened up some time in my schedule. So I've been able to like actually read and write and do things that like make me happy, which is my mood. So, you know, and it's not much of it, but an hour here in the morning and an hour here or there and 30 extra minutes that I can take for my training and not have to be like on some kind of time clock to get to the next call, so to speak, or responsibility. It's been really, really nice, you know. So I like being efficient. It's good.
100%.
Ready to kick off the week. And I was excited to talk to you guys today, especially once we decided what kind of topic we would dive into. I thought, man, that's a fun topic kind of for where everyone's at in their journey and experience. And
I got this question, and I think this is a big one. We'll obviously tail in what Braden wanted to talk about during this combo. But the question I got in my Q&A today is, when is the right time to go down the enhanced route? And I think this is a really interesting question because I don't know if there's actually a really good answer to it, but we can hopefully help. We can hopefully come to a conclusion over us three coming together and find one solid, good answer to let you know when the exact time is.
I think more so what it'll be is we'll provide a bunch of perspective and then someone can use that perspective to guide. Cause I don't know if there's a quote unquote right answer that you could springboard across to everybody, but providing a bunch of different perspectives might help somebody decide whether it's really worth it or not for their situation and their kind of dreams and future hopes, etc.
Yeah. I think the first thing we look at, right, is obviously where's the person at in their physique development. I think that's obviously where we have to start, right? You're not just going to start a newbie who's been in the gym for 6 months on 200, 300 milligrams of test and say,
I have a question then, guys. So I'll ask Anthony and then Braden can take it. And I can answer my own question at the end, because that might be an efficient way to do it.
Yeah.
What type of training age generally would you like to see with a client before even entertaining that? And when I say training age, I think, you know what I mean? Not like 40 years old, 30 years old. I mean, like, how long have you trained? And inside of that, how serious has your diet been? How adherent has that been for how long? What does your training look like and how serious has that been for how long? And, you know, are you aggressive training and all these types of things? What type of training age? Considered that all those things were roughly being done to an acceptable degree that you knew you could improve 85%, 80%+. What's the training age you'd like to see with someone before having that conversation?
I think I can maybe kick it off. I think I have a little bit
more
experience in that realm. And maybe my answer is not as direct as we want.
No, it's not going to be. I feel like
a lot of these conversations when it's talking PEDs are going to be individual based, right? So for instance, when I look at this situation and what we're talking about right now, maybe I have somebody who maybe they played soccer when they were younger and they were like in and out of the gym, just pissing around from 14 to 19 years old, doing bicep curls before they went to the bar and doing some bench press and push-ups and shit like that. Do I consider that part of an actual training age? Absolutely not. No. Because what I consider a training age is balls to the wall training, taking sets to failure and training hard, like very hard for an extended period of time and training smart, right? So if you're doing 30 sets of high volume work and stretching and squeezing a muscle, technically one might say, yeah, that is contributing to your training age. So for me, when I work with an athlete, I want you to show me, and I'm going to create a training age with you per se. And my training age for you might be 1 year. I want you to show me for one fucking year that you can execute a training program and not ask me every 4 weeks for a new training program. I want you to find the fun of progressing within your training and find the fun of finding the intensity that actually takes to progress. And if you can do that for a year, well, by that point, we might be at a point with your physique and maybe you're 25, 26, 27 years old, that we can say, yeah, you know what? Your progressions within training aren't crazy huge anymore. You're progressing, but your goal is to be an open bodybuilder and win a show, or your goal is to be a class physique competitor and win a show. Well, the older you get, the further that goal might get away from you. And you've proven to me at this point that you've been able to go balls to the wall and execute a plan well for a year. What do I have to worry about? Your health is in my hands. I'm looking at your blood work. I know you can train hard. I know you're not doing this just as like a shortcut because you fucking think steroids are magical. You're willing to do the work. So in that case, who am I to tell you you're not ready, right? If you're mentally ready and you're physically ready and you've proven that to me, then I'm cool with it. Now, that ain't going to be 12 weeks. you ain't gonna show me for 12 weeks that you can train hard, and I'm gonna be like, yeah, time to fire up, cycle. Right. So, and obviously, again, we do talk to people about history and this and that. And there might, people don't need to do things my way for me to consider that training age. I guess that's not where I'm going with that either. Because there's a lot of coaches that do things different way and still have people training hard. Right. So that's kind of my answer, I guess, there. It realistically comes down to what I've seen you can do. Because you can tell me till you're blue in the face that you've been training hard for 10 years. Well, the first 3 months I work with you, I'm going to be able to tell if you've actually been training hard. Because you can tell me your training age is 8 years. And then I watch you for the first 6 weeks we work together, and I'll tell you your training age is 1 month.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me.
Yeah, I call it, this is what I've called it for myself, right? I call it called earning the right to do it. I think this is where, you know, you have to be on point with it. And it's not like, and it's like Brayden said, it's not just on point in terms of making adjustments. Like, it's like we nail the form. And you actually understand the skill of what it means to train balls to the wall. Because in and of itself, that's a skill that's going to take time to develop. And if you don't develop that skill right in the quote unquote time that we wanted to, and things keep getting delayed, you're furthering down that process of actually earning the right to do these things and to elevate what you want to elevate. Mm-hmm. Because it comes down to the fundamental basics, right? It's consistency within training, consistency within nutrition, and consistency within how they act within life, right? Because it's not just taking subs to get bigger. Like obviously that's the goal, but you have to be on point with not just diet and training, but you have to have your shit together.
Yeah.
Like it's not a cheap thing, and you don't get a ton back in return. I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand with it. And it's something that you have to make a choice that's eventually going to come down the line of, are you willing to do this for a long time too with that? But earning the right is a big key to what I think it is. And you have to show me not just through how your training and how your diet is. You have to show me by how you're carrying yourself. Because if you're unstable outside of the diet and training, it's just going to get 10 times worse with actually doing things.
Yeah.
Like it elevates everything. So imagine you have anxiety that you haven't dealt with for a while, or even like any of these like little traumas, which we could get into. I mean, Dylan and I, we've all been through this with athletes and health cases, and they all hold some sort of like trauma right from like their childhood. If you don't deal with this shit and you get anxiety, it's going to be exacerbated 10 times worse when you're doing these things. Like everything gets elevated. So I think you have to earn the right when it comes down to it. It's not just, you can go do it, but if you're not ready for it, it's going to bite you in the ass.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, so I'll share my thoughts and you guys tell me what you think of this. I agree with a lot of what Anthony, all of what Anthony said in some version. I had thought, I'll start there, because I had thought about, you know, if as a package, these are optimizing products. That's the way that I looked at them. PEDs are performance enhancing drugs, right? What isn't standardized can't be optimized. So if we haven't standardized the metrics below, or, you know, on the top of the, you know, the low hanging fruit, the high hanging fruit doesn't affect it, right? As near as well as it could, especially when you're taking a potential theoretical health cost, right? It's like, why would you want to do that? I don't understand that, actually. When people want to do something that, like, I can't do that. I literally can't. Like, I would stress, you know, like it would bother me that I did that, that I would, you know, I'm not saying like never make a mistake ever, but you know, where people just kind of take PDs and don't have anything standardized. That's a crazy thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, I think that one of the conversation, Brayden was kind of saying this, but I think not many people want to talk about this part in anything, but genetics and competency. Those are probably the two things. Because for instance, I'll lay out two scenarios. When I've had this conversation with Brayden, looking at my history, my past, my starting canvas, the age that I am just in general, my training age and my physical age,
yeah,
and my injury history, And then maybe Braden gets someone else who's been training a year and a half. But they look like in 5 years, they could be a pro. Well, I waited a long time, almost 10 years of training age. And I would argue that that 10 years is pretty valuable. Like I could provide educational materials on the subjects by the time that I was started this journey, you know, versus the person A might end up technically as a client, maybe getting them faster, depending on what my goals were at the time, you know, in my hypothetical situation, just because of potential and age and all that stuff. So, and competency, Braden touched on this. It's like, you're going to show me. And some people, this happened to me a lot in my life, and sometimes people would not love this, let's say, but I would start it because that's how the workforce is basically. You start a job and it's like, okay, well, you and these other people, at least the jobs I did, like blue collar jobs, you do the same thing. Well, my version of the same thing was always better in a short amount of time. And then I would get promoted. And it's like, oh, well, you only been doing this for how long? It's like, well, do it better then if you've been doing it so long. Right. And that honestly, and sometimes takes people longer to be able to nail all the metrics on the low hanging fruit of the tree, so to speak. And some people can surprise the shit out of you. You know, like Braden might get a client who, or myself, or Anthony might get a client who's been, you know, maybe played some sports, never bodybuilded in their entire life. I have a client kind of right now talking about this. He's a professional football player, you know, and he's going to maybe try to get into some physique and development stuff. He's going to kill it. Like I was just talking to him. It's like, I know I could write anything on a piece of paper and it will just be done. He's like, my job is getting screamed at since I was like 8 years old. Like, do this and do this. They're already so ready to go. He's going to learn the movements. Yeah. But as an athlete already, it's going to take him 6 months. And by the way, I don't think he's going to ask to do PEDs, but if a client like that wanted to, you know, it's like, geez, who are, like Braden said, who are you to kind of tell them like, you have to be doing this for 4 years. It's like, those are the people that in 2 years with PED use will be winning shows.
Yeah.
You know, so like everyone's genetics are a little bit different in situations. So the first question was kind of a trick question because I don't think you can put a timeline.
I agree.
On any type of thing. It's so hard. That's why these conversations are really difficult to have and why information ends up getting behind paywalls.
Yeah.
That makes sense, right? Because like, or individualized, like, you know, you're having all the conversations with the individual as a coach, and I am, and that's very important. But that's why it's hard outside looking in, because everyone wants like, when should I do them and how much? And it's like, see, you're missing it. And it's
funny you said that. I've been putting up those, and I seen you guys did it too, those anonymous question boxes. And when I put up a non-anonymous one, I get nearly the same amount of questions or the same type of questions. And then I put up an anonymous one and I mentioned, ask me anything about PEDs, nutrition, training. Every fucking question that comes in almost is about PEDs. And half the questions are, what's the best steroid? What's the best steroid for a female? What's the best steroid for a male? And it's like, I don't know. I don't know who you are. You want to talk about steroids. You have different types of steroids that respond different in every single person. You got fucking testosterone derivatives, Maxine Norris, DHTs. I don't know. I've never seen what you've taken. I don't know who you are. I have absolutely no idea, because what's good for person X might not be good for person C, and that sure as shit is not good for person K. So why the fuck you want me to just say testosterone? You want me to just say trend? Like, I don't fucking know. I mean, it's probably definitely not trend, but it might be trend for that person. They might be a very, very good responder to trend at a very low dose.
What do you think about this, Braden and Anthony? Because it's like, well, I think the bodybuilding industry has done a good job of hush-hushing these things. And that's fair enough. But what that's created is a simplified ideology of what they are. Because what you're asking is, go to the pharmacy and ask them, what's the best drug here? And the pharmacist is going to be like, what the hell for what? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then what you're asking us is exactly what Braden mentioned, which would be, you don't know. Like, so you're not even deep enough into the process of knowledge to know what you need from a drug.
Yeah.
So there is no best, because they all have effects. And that's why when you've done this low-hanging fruit work for a long time and standardized, do you need to eat more? Is it a fuel supply problem? Yeah. Is it a tissue accrument problem? Is it a recovery problem? Is it an adipose tissue problem? You know, there's a whole bunch of different things here. So there's not like
can we run a hypothetical here?
Yeah,
well, of course. I was just going to say one thing because I see this all the time. I see people ask me what the best drug for growing muscle is, and then I look at their diet. They're eating fucking 1,500 calories. It's like you should probably go with that drug called food. It works really well. Food and sleep are crazy drugs. You should try them out sometime.
can we go with the hypothetical?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, if everybody who listens to the podcast, right, I'm not enhanced. Let's just say if I did go down that route, right? I've taken 2 years now, over 2 years, to really see what I could actually do with my physique, right? And you guys have seen my photos and things like that. So let's just use me as an example. Let's just say that. Have I what I would call earned the right to actually...
Oh, yeah. If you're on my roster, hell yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I've followed you long enough. I know where your head's at with this game. I know where your knowledge levels are at. I know how hard you work. I know how dedicated you are to your cardio, your training, your diet. Hell yeah. Absolutely. Come over to my house. You want to fucking tell me you want to run some tests? We'll find some tests and put a needle in your ass tomorrow.
This is why I'm afraid to go visit Braden, because I know it's just...
You'll wake up and
you're making me sound like a psychopath. I don't just put needles in people.
I know.
But you asked a question and I gave you an answer.
But I mean, I gave myself, like, hypothetically, I've given myself 2 years to see, hey, what are my possible genetics within this? How long could I possibly stay consistent? Which, yeah, from day one, I've probably had maybe 2 days where I've, like, probably more than that. I probably say like 7 days total in the last 2 years where I could say I've probably been off on something. And those are the free meals that I asked Mark to have. Like, they weren't given free meals. Like, those are free meals that I've taken myself. Like, I don't do that shit. Like, but I've given myself time to see, hey, is my genetics actually worth it to do it? And
so I have a problem with that.
But the one thing is, I do want to say something because me and Mark had this conversation. One thing is, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
I think this is something that a lot of people always ask when it's in the forums or whatever, because I'm on Train by JP. I'm on these different types of forums, right? Or like Physique Collective. And the one thing some of these people ask before even hopping on, they're like, well, do I have the genetics to do it? And I'm like, you don't really know, because your genetics will determine how you respond.
Yes,
to what you're going to do. You don't know. It knows what it can respond to with hard work.
Separate genetics there.
But right? It's completely.
There's non-responders to androgens and there's hyper-responders. And like, I've seen people that look like shit training naturally take androgens, and all of a sudden it's like, holy shit. Like me, for instance, myself, we all know that like my legs are my very strong body part. And
I know you're showing off some pretty big guns right now.
I played hockey forever. That's a perfect example. My arms, perfect example, actually, my arms, because I'm limbs. My limbs are my best body parts. Myself, I have a picture that I could show you when I was 175 pounds standing with Kim, and it's a selfie she took. My arm looks like a fucking stick. It is tiny. I did not have big arms before I was enhanced. I did not have, like, I had hockey player legs, but they were not big and they were not separated or anything. I started taking androgens and I kept training, and I trained like a bodybuilder, and those things grew the most. My arms, I don't even fucking train, man. And they continue to grow. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, how is that? You are a fucking genetic responder in those areas. You have lots of androgen receptors, whatever it comes down to, they're going to respond in that area. Right. So everybody is different. That's why people have fucking weak body parts in bodybuilding. You can't just take more drugs and say my legs are going to grow. Well, if you have fucking small legs and genetically have small legs, it's going to rely a lot more on your training and how you're doing things to grow those legs, not just the drugs you're taking, because the drugs you're taking, if you push those amounts, will just make your strong body parts stronger. And yeah, your weak body parts might get a little bit stronger, but they're going to be weaker compared to your strong body parts that are continually getting more strong. Right. Yeah. And like, I wanted to flip that question on you, Anthony, that you asked, because what would you say if I said no? Like, what would you say if you came in and you said, am I ready to take steroids? Your answer would be like, your rebuttal to that would be why?
And I wouldn't
have a fucking answer to say, because I can't tell you you're not ready.
Yep.
Because at what point are you going to be ready then?
It's a personal decision.
Is 4 years the time? Is 6 years the time? Because what people fail to realize, and they come with all the time, and I see it all the time, and I hear it all the time, I want to maximize my genetic potential. Well, here, let me give you a little bit of tidbit of information. If I put testosterone in you and I put GH in you, your genetics aren't fucking changing. I'm maximizing your genetic potential. So I'm technically using drugs to maximize your genetic potential, because if you didn't have that genetic potential, you wouldn't get that size even taking those drugs. So that argument that people use is nil. It doesn't make sense. When you say you want to wait to maximize your genetic potential before you take drugs, you don't just get to a certain place and you just no longer fuck. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, that argument doesn't really fly, because when you put the drugs in, your genetics are still your fucking genetics.
Yeah. Because you have no idea how you're going to respond. Like, in all honesty,
they're being amplified to a degree via gene expression, right? And like protein expression and these things. Yeah. So it's for sure, like Dylan mentioned, it's a tough conversation to have, but you have to be a realist with it.
You know, because we talked about, because, okay, so there's responding to training and eating and recovery, mm-hmm. and then an intra-individual, bio-individual, and then there's the pharmacokinetic side, which is like how you interact with drugs in general. But like I said, look at all those categories. And I named, in bodybuilding, to my knowledge, there's about 13 different pathways we could attack using pharmacokinetics, or 12, something like that. Modulating different problem solving. Let's simply put, there's 12 different problems I might have for putting size on or taking body fat off of someone. And there's about 12 pathways in the body we can manipulate with pharmacokinetics. There's going to be an intra-individual response to all of those different segments. So for some people, they might respond really well using enhancements, getting very lean. But they might not respond very well to putting on tissue based on some of the tools that would have to be used to put on tissue with different enhancement strategies that you could use for different type of phases, right? So that's how complex it is. It's kind of like the globe is spinning really fast and you're trying to get a handle on too many things at once to nail it to one person, you know. And bringing it back to the questions thing, because I couldn't stop thinking about this. I did the same thing as you today. I took this idea from you, so credit to you. As I was like, oh yeah, you could put like the normal one and then the one underneath it, and then there's two in one. So whichever one you want, perfect. You want to be anonymous or you do not want to be on the questions. I can't believe how many of the questions are PED based.
Oh yeah.
How many there are. It's unbelievable.
Like, I would say for me, honestly, 90%.
I opened the thing and I thought it was a sick joke. Never mind actually the PED questions, but just the questions in general. You know, the anonymous, when I opened that and I was like, oh my God, there's so many, and so quickly, like so many people saw this. Anyway, the point is, I think it's really tough to nail down one timeline or one rite of passage. And people are going to do what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what Anthony's alluding to, is like, you know, you're ready when you decide you're ready, and when you have a responsible coach. And more so, I would say that the funding for health is, especially in Canada, that's the most important thing, actually.
Yep.
Everything else can be taught or figured out. You know, like if you're 85%ing on your diet and you already came to me on enhancements, I can teach you how to get better on your diet.
Yeah.
If you don't have the money to do your blood work, that's a big problem, because I can't really teach you in a short-term manner how to find money to get your blood work, you know, or pay for the health supplements, or people don't realize all the ancillary costs.
Yeah.
On top of that,
that's the most expensive part of it. That's what I was just going to say.
Like, yeah. I don't think people understand that. I don't think
people talk with somebody about starting gear, they bring up the costs of the steroids themselves.
No, it's cheap.
that's never going to be your big cost unless you're running farm growth, which, hey, you want to go far in the sport, you probably should consider maybe getting some farm growth. But again,
unless you get a prescription.
Yeah. At the end of the day, that's going to be not your biggest cost, because you're going to spend 10 times the amount on health supplements that you are a month on steroids themselves. Yeah. Right. And like I said, I mean, sure, maybe you get to the level of an Olympia guy who's taking a large amount of stuff for the most part. Their cost is going to be a lot higher than yours doing your first cycle. But it's not, regardless of that, your cost of an actual cycle will not be that high. But your cost of vitamins to make sure that you're keeping the boxes checked that you need to, and you're taking care of things, you got to be buying a blood glucose monitor. You got to be buying a blood pressure monitor. Those alone are $100 a piece. Now you're talking about the vitamins. You're talking 80, 90 bottles of dollars per bottle, and you're buying 5 or 6 different bottles, 7, 8, 9 yeah. bottles a month. Yeah. Like you're talking $400 of vitamins a month for a lot of people. I have an athlete, for instance, who I work with, and he's a very, very good athlete and tons of potential in his physique. And he's worked with coaches over the years, and nobody's ever made him get blood work done. He is enhanced, and he started working with me. We got blood work done, and he was raring to go, ready to start a cycle, had a show planned for next year. We talked about it. Yeah, for sure. But let's get blood work done. Let's see. We get the blood work done. I look at his blood work, and it's a disaster. And then the conversation comes, and I had already had him on a little bit of supplements, but then the conversation becomes, because again, we go needs-based, right? Like, what do you need at this moment in time? We look at the blood work, and it's like, you need a lot of shit. And you don't need a lot of shit because we need to put you on steroids. You need a lot of shit because you've done a lot of damage over the years that we need to fix. Yeah. And your steroid cycle, your actual blast, might not come into play for 6 or 8 months because we got a lot of working to do here first. So that show you wanted to do 1 year from now might not be happening a year from now, unless, you know what, if we can improve you enough, not enhanced during that period of time, just on HRT, then we can just go into an enhanced cycle for prep and maybe you'll respond well enough, right? And that's a decision we make down the road. But like, that's a tough conversation to have, because then the person comes back and is like, holy fuck, dude, you're asking me to spend $400 a month on vitamins? And it's like, yeah, I am, actually. I absolutely am. And if you're not cool with that, well, I don't know if we can work together, because you're literally telling me you don't care about your health. Because you're telling me you want to run the gear, but you're telling me you're not willing to take the vitamins that are going to get you to a place where you can run the gear, right? And it's, again, it's one of those things. The other thing with that is time. You've been running gear for 5, 6 years, 4, 5, 6 years, and you've done a lot of damage to yourself potentially. That doesn't get fixed in 6 weeks of taking vitamins, right? So there's a lot of things that come into play, and I think that mental maturity is a big one to realize. And it goes back to that first question. When is somebody ready? They better be mentally mature enough to realize that if things are going south, they can't be so committed to, I want to run a cycle, that they need to continue to run that fucking cycle. And oh, I'm getting massive, massive side effects. I'm just going to run AIs through the roof. No, that's not how it works. If your dosages are causing issues, we probably should be pulling those dosages down a little bit, right?
Well, I went through that, right? I mean, we talked about the one athlete I have, right? She was doing fucking MPP, for Christ's sakes. And she got these massive, and she got mental side effects, which are even worse, than any of the physical ones, because that puts you into a dangerous category there where you're working with you're fighting your neurological system.
Yeah.
And that changes a lot of things. First off, I put an age cap. Unless you fully understand what's about to happen to you neurologically, I really don't think, unless you're really, really sure, and you have to be really damn sure, under 25, like, you have to be sure.
At the end of the day, the second you put a needle in your ass, that could be your reality for the rest of your life.
Yep.
And that's not a false reality. That's just a reality. That's a harsh reality. Because the second you put that needle in your ass, everything changes. And I'm not saying your physique just blows up and you're a fucking beauty now. I'm saying that everything changes. You are now an enhanced athlete. You've literally taken the steps to shut down your own endogenous production of hormones. And with that comes risks. And if you're not willing to take those risks and you have not weighed those risks, I can sit here and tell you till I'm blue in the face that we've had a lot of advances in the medical sciences world over time that allow guys like me who are on HRT long-term to, yeah, get your women pregnant and have babies and bring your sperm counts up through HMG therapy, HCG therapy, you name it. There's been a lot of cool stuff to come around from over time, but there is never a guarantee. And as far as I'm concerned, especially as a female, if you want to talk to female rudiment enhancements, there's a lot to lose there, right? Because and the viralization stuff kicks in. You've got to be willing to accept that, because most people are going to have some degree of viralization. You're talking, you're going to get some degree of a deepening voice. You're going to get some degree of acne, right? It's sometimes it's one or the other. Sometimes it's both. You can't pick and choose. Everybody's different. And a lot of these viralization side effects, they don't go away. You change your voice has changed, right? And there's a lot of girls who are okay with that and realize the risks. And I can't, that's okay. Because you know what? You're an athlete that has goals. You want to be on an Olympia stage in figure. You want to be on Olympia bodybuilding stage as a female. Well, yeah, you're willing to accept those risks. I can't tell you not to accept those risks. I can help mitigate those risks for you. But at some point, you need to realize that that risk is there. And the more you want to push, the greater the risk gets. Right. And as long as people realize that, and that's where I stand with this, if you have the mental maturity to understand these things and you can make the decision that you're ready to take that risk. And again, if you're 18 years old, that's a fucking really tough conversation to have. Like, I would argue you're probably not ready at that point, but it's one of those things that, yeah, I mean, and it goes into kind of something like you had mentioned there, Dylan, is people are going to do it anyway. And that's a very true thing. Now, on the flip side, we have to be smart, and we are for sure, because we've had these conversations before, to not let that dictate where we go as a coach, right? I don't want to make my decisions just because I'm scared that you're going to go somewhere else and do something shitty yourself. Now, that is something that's on the back of my mind, but I'm not going to put you on gear when you're 17 years old just because I'm scared you're going to go do it wrong the other way. Sorry, no, I'm going to tell you you're a fucking idiot. You absolutely should not be on gear at 16 or 17 years old, and that you need to learn how to fucking grow up first and train and live your life a little bit, because once you go down that route, by the time you're 24, bodybuilding might be old to you, and you just pissed away some of the most important years of your life, right? Now, if you're hell-bent on bodybuilding at 16 years old, then bodybuild for the next 5 years. But do it from a point of, show me you can be a bodybuilder first. And then when you're ready, we'll take the gear.
I was about to just say that. I was like, I think the best route, if we can give a definite answer, is link up with a good coach, optimize everything while you're not on anything, and then make that decision with that coach, because they will guide you. If you have a good coach, they will, as we've talked about plenty of times, they will guide you down how to do it the absolute best way. I would say there's not really a right way, but I would say probably the best route possible. Or no, there's not a best way. There is a right way of doing things. And I think if you get with a coach and you're able to optimize everything, like you said, earn the right to actually do it, you're going to thank yourself later for doing that, because you're going to optimize everything when you even go on for the first time. So
if
I don't
you're
think
hiring a coach, your trust should be in that coach.
Yep.
And a good coach will absolutely have your best interest in mind. So they'll be the one to tell you if you're ready or not. You know what I mean? Like, a good coach can actually tell you if you're ready or not. For sure they can, because they've seen what you can do. They'll know when you're ready. And that's, like, for myself, that's a conversation I have with people, is when they ask me to do it, I'll literally tell them, you're not ready because X, Y, and Z. Or you're ready because of this. And like, I have a prime example. One of my natural guys who did the natural show there just 2 weeks ago, him and I have had conversations prior to him even competing naturally. And when he started with me, his goal was not to be a competitor. Fast forward 10 months, he gets on a natural bodybuilding stage. The kid is obsessed with bodybuilding. He poses every single night, or 3 weeks post show, and he still poses every single night. Every single night working on different poses. He fucking loves bodybuilding, and it's so sick to see. Him and I have had conversations. He's talked to me about drugs before he's even considered taking the drugs. He wanted to learn about the drugs before he even considered taking them. I watched this guy prep through and through and through and bury himself as a natural competitor, going into a class at 140 pounds, standing with guys 40 pounds his size and hanging with them and smiling and loving it. And I'm like, you know what? This kid just showed me over the past 10 months that he's ready for this. He's done educational research on his own end. He didn't just come to me and say, teach me about drugs. He did. He took the initiative to learn some himself. And then he asked, what else should I know? Is there more I need to know before I make this decision? And we had that conversation. We decided, as between the two of us, you're ready. You've done this long enough. You know what you're doing. I'm confident that this is something you can do and do it safely. And you can change your physique based on your goals. And that's a very important part here. If your goal is just to walk around and fucking have muscle mass, maybe you probably shouldn't just take steroids. Like, there are a lot of risks that just aren't really, you know what I mean, necessary to take at some point. If your goal is to be the big guy in the gym, well, you might have some mental things that we need to work on first.
Yeah. I would say the one thing I'm very happy with this in some sort of closing fashion is, you know, we've all agreed that there's not really a time per se. You know, there's some really good indicators. That's very good for people to illuminate the path, so to speak. But more so in our own way, sorry, refresh me, Anthony, quickly. What did you have to earn the right, you said, right?
Yep.
So Anthony had a term, earn the right. Braden walked through and said, like, well, I make everyone show me, right? So, like, they're proving it. So there's a proving grounds. And then I basically do the exact same thing as Braden. And we've never talked about this before, and I didn't know this until right now, but I have this interesting perspective because I have a client who I was talking to you guys on the podcast before we recorded, and he's done 1.5, let's say, like, exposures before. And I was like, you know, he kind of came to me post show and it was like, well, it's health phase time anyway. He started asking me about all that. And I'm like, listen, man, this is like a refresh with me. Like, I don't care what you did before. I'm going to see what you're made of. We're going to get training. We're going to get eating. We're going to do all these things. And then we're going to figure that out in a while, you know? And obviously we had some conversations about it, but it's like, we're not talking about different dosages and things that aren't important right now. You're on a hunt here and you got to worry about this one first before getting to that one. And I like that because that shows kind of we all have that same moral grounding with this, where we're just treating every individual like the individual. And I can attest, because Braden is my coach. I came to Braden just starting a health phase after my first exposure with another coach. And I didn't have a bad experience or anything like that, really. It wasn't my best cycle design, I don't think, but that's, you know, it's my first one. How the hell do you know? And, you know, Braden kind of like, we went a lot longer with figuring stuff out, working together before I could have got on again faster. And we waited a good 7-8 months. And it was like, we're building a relationship, because I was thinking about that. Because when I hired someone, I knew I would be getting them to advise me on this stuff. I want to figure out what Braden's up to too, because I'm coming from like an educated perspective. Like, I knew him, obviously I trusted him, but trust is built. Yeah. Right, you have the inkling of trust, and it takes a while to form that relationship. Because wouldn't you guys agree that even if the person was ready, like technically, either for another enhancement or a, you know, more so a first exposure, if they work with you for 4-6 months, even if they were ready on day one, they're going to trust what you're telling them to do way more. You're going to have figured out their personality niches. So, like, you know, it's like, oh, that might not be the best play. The cycle design gets better. So, you know, just having a little patience, I think, is really good. Yeah. Even when you decide, like, okay, I'm ready, it doesn't have to be like today. Because I remember that when I decided, and I was in an interesting spot, never talked much about this, but I've been in the bodybuilding industry for a while, and I toyed with the idea, and I actually was never going to do it until I did my last natural show in 2018, and I won that show, and I, for 2-3 years, relentlessly could not get my hormones back to even an acceptable level. And they weren't great before I started, from being obese my whole life. And I got tired of just like waiting around for them to get it basically so low that I would feel like death, so that they would help me. You know, so I started seeking alternative methods. And to be honest, I was very scared. It was very nerve wracking for me because I'm a deep thinker and I projected all these things out into the future. And there's a lot of cost and benefit analysis. And then once I did it for me, I was upset I didn't do it faster, because I was like, oh my God, I have resilience now. I can't believe I've done in my life anything before this. And that was just on like an actual replacement dose, not enhancement. This is just like, oh, I can sleep. I can, you know, like I can eat more than 1500 calories and 1800 calories to like maintain my body weight. This is awesome. Yeah, so it was a good choice. And then it made it easier for me to jump into an exposure, obviously, because I already had the burden that Braden was talking about, just to be quote unquote healthy, right? And it's like, well, I want to be a bodybuilding coach. I want to do all these things. I should probably know what some of this feels like. And, you know, maybe I potentially will compete again now that I wasn't going to naturally, but now that I'm doing this, maybe I will. We'll see. But
get him back to stage.
This kind of stems into a conversation I think that's also important to have is like, we're guys that preach safer use, and we always will. And those models, right? And every time I work with an athlete, there's always going to be risk mitigation involved. Now, at some degree, where do you want to be as a coach, and where is your athlete's goals? And that needs to be taken into account too. You're not putting a guy on Olympia stage running 150 or 200 milligrams of test and maybe 100 milligrams of Primo, right? Like, let's be real here. I'm not going to tell people dosages right now, but like, that's not what those guys are taking. That's not what the best bodybuilders in the country usually are taking. So at some point, you need to continue to mitigate risks, but a conversation needs to be had with yourself and with your coach to realize there's a lot bigger risk that comes alongside with my goal. We need to do our best to mitigate that, be smart, take the time necessary to make sure we aren't causing greater risk, but also realize, right? And that goes into the reason I brought this up is because like Dylan's situation, we're not going to say what Dylan's running and dosages, but for somebody, they might think it's very low. For somebody, they might think it's very high, right? And that person might look and be like, you guys are crazy. And it's like, well, no, because Dylan and I have had conversations about everything that this could be doing to him. Mm-hmm. And you look at his supplement list and the way he eats day to day on a day to day basis and the way he treats his body on a day to day basis. He's aligned everything with a goal and we've had a conversation and we know the risks that come with that. We do our best to mitigate them. We monitor health markers very frequently. We're going to run blood work, all the stuff we need to do to make sure that these things are handled in the most appropriate way, right? Yeah,
you're taking big responsibility over it, right? And one of the things too that I would add is for me, and this is only because of my specific sort of career and aspirations, more a career fronted than physical fronted for me. But it's like, well, there's a cost of inaction too.
Yep.
Because doing nothing, to be honest, I'm not sure I would ever get to where I'm already going to have my work cut out for me to get, you know? So it's like, if there's things that can help me and there's maybe a small calculated risk, there's a huge risk into investing my life savings into my first supplement store. Because if it would have failed, I would argue that the mental health problems from that probably would outweigh the problems of a first exposure that was handled very responsibly long-term in my life. I almost guarantee it.
Yeah.
So it's like there's costs and analysis everywhere. And you're just trying to make the best choices for each situation. So just be smart. Ask someone who has a clue. Talk to them. You know, ask some questions. Hire a good coach. Those are all very important things.
Hire a coach on Team Miller Elite.
Yeah, Team Miller Elite.
Hire one of us.
So, Braden, you can ask. I'm going to ask you this because I actually want to just ask it for the listeners' sake more so. But yeah. on our team, how many people do you think – you don't even have to name names, but how many people do you think are – have the capacity to help with that? Like, can everyone help with that? Because I don't know where everyone is relative to you. I know where a few of us are, but is it kind of like all clients would go to, you know, mostly you're like, who would you say has the most enhanced clients? You probably for sure.
The most enhanced clients.
Yeah. So Braden, I would say has the most experience. Yeah. And I'm probably after that. But anyway, I think there's a variety of coaches that could probably help on our team, you know, depending on where you're at in that journey. That's what I was trying to get at. You know, if someone's really experienced bodybuilder, you know, it's like you're going to be playing with bigger toys, right? So fit yourself.
If you ask me that question a year and a half from now, that number will differ drastically.
Exactly. You know, so it's like you're trending, right?
What we're trying to do here, we're trying to make sure that all of our coaches have that level of education. But when some people just aren't there yet because there's other low-hanging fruit we need to make sure are checked off, right? And like all of our coaches are very, very high caliber coaches in different regards at the current moment. And those coaches are going to make me better in some areas. And I've talked about where my areas of weakness are. And another coach might have an area of weakness being PEDs. And we'll get there. Is it massively important right now for that person to know everything about PEDs? No. Right. So, yeah, I mean, and then people get a little more experience. And hey, Coach X, and I'm not going to name names because, again, if somebody wants to work with that coach, we have that conversation at that time.
Yeah, but exactly.
Somebody wants to work with Coach X and they want to run a cycle. And Coach X comes to me or comes to you, Dylan, or talks to all of us in a group setting on our team call and says, this person wants to run a cycle with me. I don't have a lot of experience doing it, but here's their information. Here's where they are. I feel like this is somebody we can do this with. Great. Let's do it. Now you have a team of coaches willing to help you do it. And now you're going to get in the trench knowledge on how we should do this, how we're going to work with it. You're going to come to me and tell me what's happening when things you feel are going sideways. I'm going to say, it's not going sideways. This is pretty normal, actually. This is all you have to do in this situation. And you know what I mean? And that's how we get better at this thing.
I love the answer. And that at was... the end, you totally landed the plane because I asked a question in a weird way. It's because what I was actually, I should just be honest because then I won't sound so weird. What I was kind of trying to ask, I have a feeling that there's probably some clients that like maybe want to work with Anthony or some of the other coaches, and they might want to be interested in these things and have a conversation. But what I was saying is Braden's very educated and experienced. I would say I'm moderately experienced and very educated. And between the two of us, and Anthony's very educated, even though on the education side, he doesn't have the experience personally. There's a team of people there that can help. Right. So it's not like just because you want to have just the conversation, even it's not that you're deciding that, you know, maybe you want to work with Anthony, but you know, there's that's why this team is so cool, because it's all an extension of, you know, skill set. And that's what makes us really, really fun.
For sure. Like one example, one of our coaches just the other day, she shot me a message and they have experience working with individual PDs in the past. And, but there's certain areas they never really have. And
bingo.
Taking somebody through a full-blown PCT per se, right? And it's like a real PCT, not your 2 weeks, Clomid, Novadex, and HCG, and do this, and in 1 month you're perfect, your hormones are great. Well, no, run some blood work, you're gonna realize they're fucking not. And the conversation was just brought up, and it's like, hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking. What would you do here? And given my information, yeah, this is exactly kind of what I was thinking, and. We'll pull bloods, we'll monitor things, we'll look at it. So there's learning happening through that process, but they already have a decent understanding of what they're doing. And it's just, you know what I mean? It's
that's one of the mentorship.
It's one of the cool things about the team setting we have with our coaches too, is you're paying for one coach and you're getting seven.
Yeah, it's really cool.
You know what I mean? Because realistically, like if there's something that one of us doesn't really know, I'm willing to guarantee you, and I would put my money on it, we haven't seen it yet. And maybe we never will, that something can't be figured out.
I don't think so, Braden. I got one of my clients so graceful.
Like, it's really maybe nice. Maybe along the lines of something crazy medical, like, you know what I mean? Cancer, or like, I know.
That's, you don't need to stretch it that far. I just meant like these kind of conventional problems you would see.
Yes.
And it's not because everyone is just like these. It's just the campfire effect. When you get enough good, competent people, it just creates, human beings can create a ton of movement from a circle of people. Yeah. One of my clients was like, someone asked him one of those questions, things like how it was to work with me. And he made a really nice straight up. And he was like, you know, he has most of the answers for me, but if he doesn't, he always comes back in a timely fashion. And after that, I thought, man, I'm really grateful about that actually, because, you know, I've spent a lot of time and money and effort learning the things I know. But then if I don't, like, you know, I thought like, okay, but when I was doing this by myself, like 5 years ago, if I didn't know, like I had to pay or go and take the way more time to figure it out, because I had to figure it out, versus now I can have a nuanced in the trenches conversation about three times Braden's done that thing in different situations and pick all of the anecdote out and the specific technicalities. You know, me and Anthony have calls all the time. It's like, that's so cool. And then if it gets super complex, we all pay mentors outside of our own expertise in certain areas that we could get extension from. So then we're getting this like.
And here's the other part of that too. And like, you look at every coach we have on our team here, we're all hunters. Like we're hungry for shit. So if there's not an answer there, now you have seven people searching for a fucking.
We're gonna find an answer.
Somebody is gonna find that answer, right? Because and quite frankly, and I'll just put it out there, if we have a coach on our team who's not like that, and it becomes very prevalent over the long term, they're not willing to find that stuff. Well, realistically, you're not going to be a coaching team for that long, because you're going to get left behind by a bunch of coaches who do want to get better. And the times are always changing, and the industry is always changing, and the research is always changing, and we have to stay up to date. And like, I get it, we get busy, and I'm a perfect example of this. I get super busy, so I fall behind on my mentorship stuff with Austin. But then I have a conversation with him, and it's like, no, you're good, man. Like, when you're caught up, just keep rolling. And it's like, we're still hungry for it. We need an answer. We find it, right? And if you're somebody who just starts making shit up when you need an answer, to put something in somebody's ear, because I see that so fucking frequently in our industry. Somebody asks a question, you don't have an answer for us, so you just put something in their fucking ear because you know they're not going to look it up and they don't have the ability to. Well, now you're just doing that person a disservice, right?
I'm not afraid
to tell somebody, and I've done it a million times, and I know you guys aren't either. I don't know.
I kind of like it. People,
me too, because I tell people.
Quite that.
Then I have to go figure it out. That's how I got to where I am.
Then it makes me ask either of you guys, anyone on the team, or it makes me ask Austin.
Yes.
Like, the fucking question, because I'm like, especially in the functional realm, I'm like, you're never going to know all the answers.
No. But
there's a guarantee. I bet either one of you two or Austin has probably seen this in some sort of capacity. Usually Austin has seen this in some sort of capacity. Yeah. You ask him and he has an answer like that. Like, that's what it is. It's like, all right. It's like, cool. Now I can actually respond to it. Like there was a few things I didn't know with one of my functional health cases going on. And, I reached out to Matt Cusano to discuss a certain case going on, looking at lab work. And he was like, you know, it might be a thing where he just had to get the gut tested, because you don't know, because nothing on the lab work says anything is off here. But the fact that there's still
something you already thought potentially, but
I was kind of getting confirmation that, hey, I wanted to test the gut, but I want to make sure it's not something else before I actually did it.
There's because that it's positive emotion that tells me I'm on the right track. You know, I think that this is a very, very overlooked thing. I even took my red light glasses off. That's how serious I am about this. Because people always ask me, how do you know that?
And your sleep is so fucked, right?
Listen, you need to be able to, if you want to get smarter and more competent every single day in your phone or in a notebook, you're going to, if you pay attention, that's the first key, because you have to pay attention. You can't be just kind of sleeping on autopilot and memory mode. You have to pay attention to your surroundings. No matter what job you're at, write down the things at the end of the day, the 4, 5, 2, 1 things that you didn't know, and then know it by tomorrow or the next. And do that for 10 years. You will know a lot of stuff. The reason I have information is because I didn't know it at one time. And it pissed me off that I don't know it. And then I went and figured it out.
It's funny how you say that, because that's how, and you guys might know this and our listeners might not, because they may have never read a peer-reviewed study or an article. And if you're new to this world, and when I started reading them, I was reading shit I didn't know what the fuck I was reading. I would read a study and the amount of big words and shit in there, and I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? But just like you said, that's literally how I was. It's funny because I was
in the Google words and stuff from the study.
Yes. So that's I'll just break down
for you. People are embarrassed to say that. It's like, fuck,
university. I was in university and I was supposed to be paying attention to my fucking professors teaching me business or logistics shit. And I would be on my laptop and I would be reading peer-reviewed studies. And I would read this and I have people talking in the background and I'm trying to read this article and it's a confusing fucking study. And I'm like, what am I reading here? So then what I literally would do is I would take sections of it and I would then go research that section or that word. And I would figure out what the fuck they're talking about with that thing. And then I would figure out what the fuck they're talking about with that thing. And then figure out what the fuck they're talking about with that thing. And it might take me figuring out 15 fucking things to then go back to the study and be able to interpret it. And that might take me a week in itself to do that. But then once I've done that, that study is checked off. And I actually understand what the fuck I just read.
And you do that enough times. Something else.
Yes. And then you do that enough times and you read more studies in a general, like we're talking steroids or nutrition or functional health. You do that enough times and a lot of these articles that in study reading, the words keep popping up and physiology, these words from basic physiology keep popping up and you're like, interesting. Oh, okay. Because I didn't have And neither did either of you guys. I didn't have the benefit of when I was 17 years old, I didn't know I wanted to go into this field. And I didn't go to university and study physiology or pharmacology or anything like that. And now I kick myself in the ass and I'm like, fuck, dude, you should have just went to school for 4 years and gotten
it. That's what I say.
Got the information given to you, you would have saved a lot of fucking time, but I wouldn't change it for the world because there's still a lot of shit I don't know that, yeah, that person might know, but I'll figure it out. I'll learn it.
Braden, you know what's, man, this got me all fired up now.
God, I need to go. We need to
continue. I have to say one more thing now.
All right.
This is why I love Braden so much. It's because we're kindred spirits. Because he was said that he was at university and he was supposed to be paying attention to that. I didn't go to university because I'm a high school dropout, but I had a job selling power sports and trailers and cars and a whole bunch of other shit. And I was making very good money at that job.
Yeah, I was broke.
I wanted to be. So what I would do is the only way I could keep my job and my salary at the time was I was like a number one or two performer at this very large dealership. And I could basically do what I wanted as long as that didn't change. But then I went, okay, I have to condense that being number one and two from 8 hours in the day down to six. So I have to hammer my email leads, my phone leads. I have to get on it faster so I can take 2 or 3 hours of this computer at this place and use it and all the resources to be able to learn all this other shit. And I started that 10 years ago and I was doing exactly what you were doing. In between stuff, yeah. I was reading studies and then I would have no idea what I just read. And I'm like, okay, now I need to decompose these two paragraphs or three paragraphs, make that make sense and then move on. But after time, you collect a bunch of patterns, or at least I do, and things become like things.
Yes.
Right? Like astragalus is through this pathway and affects these modulators. Well, all of a sudden you look and it's like, oh, kind of so does, maybe Tutka or like a few other things kind of do that too.
Yeah.
In their own way, you know, so you like, it's the similarity that you can
relate. It also taught me freedom distribution. It's funny when I talk about like university and what it taught me, how to learn and how to memorize. And when I look at the stuff that I was actually taking in university, I learned how to memorize because I basically would go and I would do literally what we talked about. Like I was so fucking obsessed with bodybuilding at that point in time. That's all I did all day. I was either reading articles or I can remember it like it was yesterday. This is when Matt Jansen and Dallas McCarver, rest in peace to him, was still competing and they had their forums on MD. All the time. And I've always been a Camp Jansen, Matt Jansen super fan. Dallas McCarver was my man. And all I would do was either I'm on MD, sitting in class, fucking refreshing the page, hoping a new forum update will come through, or I'm watching their latest video with one earphone in, not paying attention to any of my university. And then all of a sudden it comes to exam season and it's like, you know nothing from the entire semester. Yeah. You have 48 hours to lock yourself in a cubby hole and memorize every single thing that you've been taught this entire semester. You're going to go through every single PowerPoint, you're going to read an entire textbook, you're going to highlight the whole textbook, you're going to write the notes and make flashcards. You're going to lock yourself in this library for 2 days straight. When you come out of this, you're going to know everything that's on that test. And I ended up doing pretty damn good in university. But could you ask me one thing I actually know from an actual knowledge standpoint now? Absolutely fucking not. I couldn't tell you a single thing that I learned in university. Could you ask me things that I learned while I was sitting in class, actually dissecting things and learning, not memorizing? 100%. There's a lot of shit right now. I can't tell you specifically what it was, but there's a lot of shit that I know now that I learned while I was in university, however many years ago that was. Fuck, what year is it? 2022. So it's been like I started university 10 years ago. And real, yeah, it's crazy to think about.
That's You're so wild. Old.
Fuck, I'm old.
Yeah.
But it's even cool to think about, right? Like I literally learned the difference between learning and memorizing while I was in university, because I wasn't learning my university curriculum. I was memorizing it while I was learning other shit that's now applicable to my life. And that is pretty fucking crazy because people think all you have to do is memorize all this shit. And I see it with coaches all the time now. They'll read something and try to memorize it. That's what this does. That's what this does. I just need to know that this, it's like, yeah, sure. But like application goes deeper than that because that affects said thing. And if said thing is off and you don't realize that or understand that, that's going to have an effect on other said thing. And now you're kind of spinning your tires because what your memorization is failing you. You don't understand what you're seeing. right? So yeah, anyways,
I don't think the one thing that people do, and this is pretty cool what John Jewett does on his J3 thing, is he always includes studies. But I wonder how many people actually go and they look at those studies, because I'm looking at those things. Like when he references those, I'm like looking at those to understand how he got the answer or the knowledge that he put into that. Like there's more in-depth answers in those studies than you will find. He's basically just summarizing that. There's so much more to learn within that. And then there's so much more to dive deeper. Like you said, Dylan, like you find one thing and then you attach to it and you're like, ooh, what are these? Like, I remember reading about like inflammation or something and like how something interacts with like the IL-6. And I was like, ooh, what's IL-6? And then you go down this pathway and then you're down this pathway of inflammation cytokines. And you're like, oh, this is how like astragalus works with this inflammation, like this IL-6. Yeah. And it's like, okay, now I understand why I'm using astragalus to work this thing or something like that. And I'm like, and then you make all this, like, it's pretty cool. So I would say for a lot of people, hey, if you want
to, I could start going off on another tangent here, but I'm not going
to. I got to go to bed.
I had a conversation with Dylan about this the other day and actually Lexa too, just talking about, but there, cause there's also, and I'll leave it at this. There's also a point where you start to almost gather information that's irrelevant. If you go too deep. Right. And I became obsessed with that at one point. I wanted to know every single mechanism of every single thing and be able to spit it off the tip of my tongue when somebody asked me this, because on social media, I wanted to be the guy that knew X, Y, and Z that nobody else knew. And then you go come back to a point and you're sitting there, and I had kind of a revelation with this. And it's like, why the fuck do you want to do that? Because your ego says you need to do that. It doesn't affect your results with your athletes.
Yeah.
At some point, you just need to know, what is this thing doing? Why is it doing it? Okay. Let's use that thing, or let's not use that thing.
What's the dose that's properly need to be run? And then there you go.
Yes, exactly. And then you assess and adapt and pivot based on the assessment.
But like I said, if someone asks for an in-depth answer, we're guaranteed to find it if we don't have the absolute in-depth answer.
For sure, 100%.
So,
you want an explanation on something? I probably could pull up 5 studies that I have saved on my computer and send them to you, but you probably won't understand any of it. But you know what I mean? And then...
But you're paying us to understand it, so we know how
exactly.
So
you don't essentially need to understand it, and it's not our job to teach you the depth of understanding, because we've spent a lot of money and time over the years gathering that.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Coaching is not mentorship.
Nope. So
this is a good podcast. I like this.
This was good. This was really good. I've had to pee for the last like 30 minutes.
You gotta get the old jug going, man.
I got through.
Like, no, that's a water jug. You gotta get a piss jug.
Yeah.
Put that thing between your legs, and then you'll be a real podcaster.
Yeah. Nah. I'm in 2 years. In 2 weeks, it will be 3 years of doing this, guys. Wow. So
I like it. I like it.
You know, we're heading there. We're heading towards the 3-year anniversary of the podcast.
That's crazy.
That's where I've learned a lot through just the amount of conversations I've had through this.
You certainly do.
Sure.
So well, I get,
like, we've all learned even just having conversations on air with each other.
Yeah. It's just you just learn about people, and I find that's the best way to absolutely learn about things. It's not just 100%. Numbers, macros, and things. It's learning about the person. Yeah. So. Thank you guys for joining us. Obviously, what started out is, hey, when is the right time to start enhancements? Turn down to get educated, get with an educated coach, and we are the most educated coaches. That's what it's come down to. So all of us are educated. Like we said, you guys get 7 coaches for the price of 1. If you truly think about it, that's why we're a team. That's why we're a pack of wolves. So, you know, join us if you want. Go to the Miller Elite website if you guys are interested in applying for our coaching. For the podcast, subscribe, follow the YouTube, or subscribe on the YouTube too as well. That will be up. So we appreciate that. That's going strong too. If you guys would, leave us a 5-star rating and review. As you guys know, I know my Canadian folks is a little expensive, but as you guys know, the podcast is teamed up with Morphogen Nutrition. You guys can use code SPADA for 10% off all supplements at morphogennutrition.com. Other than that, boys, I think we're good. That's it for thank you guys for joining us on this episode of Coach's Corner on the Ace of Spada podcast.
That wraps her up. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.